Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to speak your word, to teach your word, and we thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for this morning's meeting, our worship, and thank you, Lord, for this opportunity now. We pray for your blessing. We pray that, God, our spirit would be open to the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled this sermon, Don't Let My Age Fool You. I like that.
Amen.
Should have at least smiled at me. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God.
Don't let my age fool you. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. I'd like to begin by saying this. God already told the children of Israel to go in and possess the land. It was theirs. These men came up with the idea that they had to send spies into the land to see what the land looked like. And for 40 days and 40 nights, they went into that land. I want you to realize who these men were. These were rulers. These were men that held positions in their family tree, in their tribe. These were supposed to be spiritual men. These are supposed to be men that would lead their family in a positive way based on the promises of God. So Moses allowed them to go in to spy out the land. And the Bible said in Numbers chapter 13, verse 21, so they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob as men came to Hamath. And they descended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. So here they go into the land, and they're searching this great land, and they see all the beauty, the gold, the silver, the pomegranates, the orchards, and so on and so forth. But they came upon the giants, and they saw those giants. And in Numbers chapter 13, verse 26, it says this, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. These are the rulers. These are the spies. These are the men of great integrity and spirituality. And they told them and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. This is the proof. Verse 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Our words can depress people.
Right.
Our words can bring someone down in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. Our negative confession, our negative profession can cause someone to lose hope and to lose faith. We have to have the correct attitude toward God's word. And the words that we speak from our mouth should be words that are based on the promises of God, that are based on the truth of God, that are based on edification and encouragement. And so much in society that people are using words to tear down, to destroy, to kill, to maim, to harm, to character assassinate. So these men, 10 of them, except Joshua and Caleb, went into the land, rulers, men of renown, came back with a report, came back with proof of the land, of its prosperity, but said, Nevertheless, we can't go in. This was a direct opposite of what God said to them when he said, go in and possess the land. This is a fight. This is a spiritual warfare. Someone steps up. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30. And the someone that steps up is a man by the name of Caleb. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. Amen. For we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Again, here are a group of men, rulers, men of renown, who are supposed to be leading their families, admonishing their families, doing what God asked them to do by going in and possess the land, because God was saying, I'm not asking you to go in there by yourself, I'll go in with you. But what happened? Fear paralyzed them. Fear stopped them. They didn't believe God's word. They didn't accept what God Almighty already told them. Even after they saw all the miracles of coming out of Egypt, even after they saw all of the plagues, or even after they saw the Red Sea open, they still did not believe the word of God and the words of the Creator to go in and possess the land. Caleb, the Bible says, stilled the people and basically said, be quiet. You don't even know what you're saying. Be quiet. Your confession is not lining up with God's word. Your profession is not lining up with God's word. When you look up the word Caleb in Hebrew, it means to attack. It means a dog. It means forcible. And every one of you know that a dog is loyal and faithful. I want you to think of this. Because as I proceed in this sermon, Caleb is going to be 85 years old. And he's been with Joshua for all of those years when he started out with Joshua 45 years before. A subordinate, second in command, never was there a mutiny. Never was there a possible overthrow. Never do you see a criticism that Caleb had of Joshua, the leader of the pack. He knew his place. He knew his authority. He was also a spokesman with Joshua. And all the congregation, as he tried to speak to them, to do what God said to do, lifted up their voice in Numbers 14 and 1 and cried and wept that whole night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said to one another, let us make a captain and let us return unto Egypt. Do you see the decline? Do you see the deprivation? Do you see that when we disobey the word of God and our profession and our confession does not line up with God's word, we automatically not only get ourselves into a spiritual mess, but we bring other people into that arena and we take them down. Look what happened. A teaching moment. As this was going on, in verse 5 of Numbers 14, look what two men of God did. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. Four men out of possibly 3 million. Four men. Caleb and Joshua being two spies that went into the land to search the land and came back with a good report. As these people are crying, as these people are opposing the word of God, as these people are entertaining their attitude of negativity, four men of God fall upon their face and rent their clothes and cry out to God. Because they know at this moment, if it was a boxing ring, it's the 10th round and the opponent is winning, possibly by a knockout. They're trying to intervene. You see, my friends, the fight is always there. Amen. The fight will always be there until Jesus comes. I know we're looking for relief. I know we're looking for seasons and pockets of time and intervals. But I don't believe they're going to be there like they were years ago when we would go through a great fiery trial and then the enemy would cease and desist and go away for a season. The seasons are becoming shorter concerning his return to tempt us, to try us, to bring us through a great fiery trial. And you're in a fight. And you have to decide this morning whether you're going to continue to fight and keep your profession of faith. Are you going to lag behind and become one of those like the 10 spies and begin to speak negatively about God's word and saying, it's not working for me? You see, when that spirit settles in you, it affects other people. It affects the next generation. It affects your home, your family, your lifestyle. It affects you because it opens up a whole lot of doors for the enemy to enter in legally and come and harass you and bring temptation to your life. Moses and Aaron and Caleb and Joshua fall upon their faces to seek the face of God. And then there's the appeal. The men of God, listen, in verse 7 of Numbers 14, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, they got up from their faces, they're seeking God. They're crying out to God. They're rending their clothes. They're serious. Because they know the consequences of not believing what God told them to go in and possess the land. These four men know the consequences. These men, Moses, Aaron, Joshua, Caleb, are men of integrity, men of spirit. Men who are filled with the power of God, and they know the ramifications of these people crying all night and coming against the word of God and coming against the very words that God Almighty spoke and said, go in and possess the land. They're in a spiritual fight like you are. And we can cause ourselves to be defeated and say, I can't fight no more. I'm tired. You don't understand, Pastor. Listen, I understand. I'm in the fight every day of my life. It's getting more fierce. Because the enemy wants to take us out. He doesn't want the message to go forward. They appeal to the whole company of people. And said, let's go in. Let's possess the land. And what they were saying is, let's go forward. And that's the message for the last day for the Christian church. Let's go forward. Don't allow the enemy to put you into a corner and shut your mouth. Don't allow the enemy to put you in a corner and take your song. Don't let the enemy put you in a corner and take your faith. Don't let the enemy put you in a corner so that you disappear. It's time for us to step up. It's time for us to step out. It's time for us to step in to the very presence of God and say, God, here I am. Send me.
Come on.
Yes.
The appeal continued. in verse 9 of Numbers 14. And here's what they said. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. For listen to what Caleb said. For they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. Now let me tear that up for you. What was the man of God saying? He had spiritual insight, and you're going to need spiritual insight. This is not based on philosophy. This is not based on your belief. This is not based on your emotion. This is based on spirit. They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Yes, sir. Come on.
The words you get must come from the spirit world, God's world. Because there's another spirit world that wants to give you some words.
Oh, yeah.
There's another spirit world that wants to give you some thoughts that are not lined up with the word of God. He's very cunning, very deceiving. And the man of God said, listen, I've got insight into this. I've already seen beyond. I've already seen in the spirit world what these people are about. You see them as giants. But Caleb said, I see them, the Lord is with us, and he's saying this, and he said, for they are bread for us.
Amen.
What do you do with bread? You eat it. You consume it. You feed on it. And that's what the word bread in Hebrew means. It means to feed on, to consume. It means to battle and destroy. It means to devour. It means to fight and overcome. It means to prevail and make war against. They are bread for us. We already know their strength has left them.
Come on.
And then he went on further in the spirit world, because God gave him a word, a revelation, a rhema. And he said, they're not only bread for us, but look what he said. Their defense is departed from them. You see, the man of God slipped into the spirit world momentarily by the power of God. And God was saying, I'm going to give you the assessment of your enemy. You see, the enemy wants to make himself look so much bigger than he really is. He wants to appear to you so much more powerful than you think he is. And so the man of God is saying, listen to us. Listen to what I'm telling you. I've already seen the revelation. I've already received the wisdom of God. I already know that these people can be fed on. They are our bread. And for what does he say? For their defense is departed. You know what the word defense means in Hebrew? It means to shade as twilight. Going down like the sun. Beginning to be dark. It means shadowing. It means to tumble down. It means to sink. It's an illusion that you think they're so strong. They are just a phantom in the spirit world. God, Caleb is saying, God showed me this.
Amen.
In your mind, they're so much bigger. It's an illusion. It's a phantom in your brain, in your spirit, because you're not listening to God. The word defense means they are a vain show. V-A-I-N. They are nothing. Don't make them appear as something. This is the word that Caleb is trying to give to the congregation. He's trying to say, listen, let's go in and consume. Let's go in and devour. Let's go in and prevail and make war. God Almighty is with us because their defense is already lax. Their defense is not that strong. They're like a shadow going down. They're like the sun going down. My God Almighty, church, let's go forward, he said. Crybabies. Opposing God's word. Opposing the men of God who have fallen on their faces in humility. Look what it says. Further word. For their defense is departed from them. This man got a revelation. He's not talking through his hat. He's not giving you his opinion. This is not something he found on the internet on a post. This is not what Sister Lucy wrote. This is not what Brother Murphy wrote. This is what God said.
That's right.
He slipped into the spirit world. And if we're going to fight against the enemy, we've got to slip behind enemy lines. And we've got to slip into the spirit world. And we've got to ask God to for discernment about the schemes and devices of the enemy that's trying to come against us and divide our home, divide our church, and divide our relationships. This is warfare. This is not a joke. This isn't, I hope it goes away. This isn't, I hope it disappears. This isn't, I hope it gets better. This is a fight. This is a war. Their defense is departed. And in Hebrew means declined, removed, undone. Amen. Their defense is withdrawn. Their defense has come to an end. Their defense has been deposed.
Amen.
What a revelation. What a man of God. This guy is going to be 85 years old. When you get to the part of where I'm going to preach about him, he's trying to tell these people. 45 years earlier, let's do this. This is not hard. And then he comes and he says this. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 29. He says, you're not going to do it, are you? And you're not going to believe. And God says, here's your consequences. Here's your consequences. You cannot disobey God's word and not expect a consequence.
Right.
Just like you cannot expect to obey God's word and not expect a reward.
That's right.
Follow me. Disobedience brings consequence. Obedience brings reward. Because when we have faith in God and faith moves God's hand, those that diligently seek God,
yes,
He will reward. Those that diligently disobey God will receive a consequence, yes, and a judgment. You're talking about God's people now. You're talking about the people that God has raised up in the earth here in the book of Numbers. And this is the conclusion that the man of God is saying. In Numbers 14 and 29, your carcasses also shall fall in the wilderness. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb and Joshua. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. It behooves us to obey God.
Yeah.
It behooves us to have the right spirit with God. It behooves us to line up with the word of God. It doesn't matter if you're a tongue-talking Christian. It doesn't matter if you go around saying, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. What matters is right now, today. Not what happened yesterday. What matters today, where's your heart today? Is it lined up with the Word? Is your attitude lined up with the Word? Is there forgiveness and love in your heart as I spoke and taught on Wednesday night? Is it there? That's what God is asking us. And you know what the word despised means? Because he said the land which you despised, the land which you spurned, the land which you abhorred, the land that you loathed, the land that you refused and rejected, the land that you allowed to disappear from your very being, the land that you let go, the land that you forgot about, the land that caused you to lose hope in your dream for the future, the land that you put out of your mind and justified. Because you said the giants were there and the cities were fortified. The land that you no longer was attainable to you. The land that defeated you. When we disobey God's word, in a sense, we're despising the land and the things that God wants to bless us with. We cheat ourselves out of those blessings.
Come on.
And not only do we cheat ourselves out of those blessings, but sometimes it causes our children to wander in the wilderness for a long time, being the victims of our disobedience. Are you hearing what God's saying this morning? It's a deep word. It's a concept. It's a fight. It's a warfare. There's a judgment. And the Bible says in Numbers chapter 14, verse 34, and the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. If the Lord have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me, in this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, listen to what happened to the 10 spies. The men which Moses sent to search the land who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. They what? 10 spies. 10 men who were supposed to have integrity and fortitude. 10 men who were rulers. 10 men who came back. 10 men who came back with the proof of the promise of that land and the posterity the prosperity of that land. But said, we can't go in. You know what God said? You'll die of a plague. And those 10 men, their consequence, they died of the plague. But, verse 38, Numbers 14, but Joshua and Caleb, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. Listen to what happened. Very interesting story. They went back to their barracks, so to speak. They didn't take the command of their commander-in-chief, which was God, and then the general that God put over them, Moses. They went back to their barracks. They went back to their bunkers. They went back to their tents. Hearing the judgment of God. Hearing the consequences for their disobedience. And in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 40. And they rose up early in the morning. Oh, now we're going to rise up early in the morning. Reveille is beginning. We heard the sound of the trumpet. And they get up them and to the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we will go unto the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. Oh, what's that mean? Moses, can you get God to rescind that judgment? Moses, can you get God to rescind that consequence? We're showing up this morning. We've had a change of heart. We've had a change of mind. We've thought about this all night, and we don't like the idea that you just pronounced death on us. So we're ready to go. We got our muzzles, our guns. We got our backpack, our canteen. We're good to go. And Moses said unto them, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up. For the Lord is not among you, that you be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by their sword, because you are turned away from the Lord, therefore the Lord will not be with you. I didn't write that. I didn't write that. Oh, we had a change of heart. We're sorry for the words that came out of our mouth. We're sorry for our attitude. We're sorry for our negative confession. We're sorry for our negative profession. We want to do better. Do better. Four men of God got on their face before God and cried unto God. Caleb gave you a revelation as he stepped into the spirit world. Told you that their bread, their defense is done. And now you wake up in the morning like you got a good night's sleep. And you want to go to war? And you want to go possess the land? When God already spoke the judgment against you because of the words that came out of your mouth? God is a legalist. The Bible is a legal document. You transgress the word of God. It's not like, okay, this is a do-over.
No do-over.
This is a do-over.
He speaks, he means it.
Moses said, you go in there, you're going to get killed quicker than you're going to die in the wilderness. But they presumed, look at verse 44. They presumed to go up into the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. You're not taking the ark of the covenant, guys. You don't have any presence of God. And you know, as I spoke last Wednesday evening, people are going to fade. That song that one of the groups used to sing, Slow Fade, that's what's happening in the body of Christ. It's a slow fade. People are lazy. It's the Laodicean age. There's no spirit of sacrifice. There's no spirit of fight. It's a spirit of entitlement. Give me, give me, give me. Pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. I don't want any problems. I don't want any war. I don't want to have to go into the promised land and fight for what's mine and for my posterity. And what's happening? People are fading. And the Bible says the love of many shall wax cold in the last day. And people don't see their fade. They don't see their laziness. They don't see their Laodicean spirit. Lukewarm. God's going to spit us out if we become this. God spoke to John on the Isle of Patmos. We're in the Laodicean church age. What can be more clear when you read that church age and you read the description of that church, that we have lost our first love, that we become lazy, we become blind, and we think we're rich, we think we're increased with goods, but God said you're blind, you're miserable, you're naked, and you're wretched, and people don't even see that. Because they've lived so long in their lie and in their denial that they don't realize that they have been consumed by the enemy. And by evil spirits and demonic entities. Listen, they presumed to go up into the hilltop. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then what happened in verse 45? Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them, killed them, even unto Hormah. God's not joking. He's not playing. This isn't, I'll pick the menu. I'll take one from column A and one from column B because I like doing that. But this other one here, I'm not going to do that part. This is serious warfare. And if you think the enemy went to sleep last night, if you think the enemy is on the sidelines last night saying, I'm so happy these people are going to church this morning. I'm so happy these people are getting up early in the morning to go to an early meeting to learn about men and women. I'm so happy about that.
Come on, preach.
You don't think the enemy's going to come in and try to detour you and try to devour you and try to intercept you and try to get you not to be where you're supposed to be, where God says you need to be? We're tricked, we're fooled, we're deceived. I'm tired. I worked hard. Listen. You need to talk to God.
Amen.
You need to tell God your woes. You need to tell God how tired you are. Maybe you're tired because you're working too much. Maybe you're tired because you're involved in things that you shouldn't be involved in. Maybe that's taking your strength. You got to talk to God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What's the lesson to be learned here? Before I continue to preach for a few more moments. Don't become hard and immune to the voice of God. Keep your spirit open and your heart soft before the Lord. Don't become distant with God and allow bitterness to come into your heart. God's been showing me that this week. I spoke to my wife this week and said, bitterness is a cancer. Bitterness is a cancer. Hebrews 12:15. Not only is it a cancer to the person, but it's a cancer to those that surround the person. It's a root. It's hard to get rid of bitterness once it sets in.
Come on,
don't let bitterness become, don't become distant with God and allow bitterness to come into your heart. Many in the Bible had to wait for a long time before the answer was received. Don't become bitter because you think you haven't received the answer that you want. During your trial, there are messages that God is trying to deliver to you. Sometimes the answer is in these messages. Allow the word of God to soak into your spirit. Don't allow the water of God's word to run off your spirit. There's a lesson here. That if we're not careful, God will put us between a rock and a hard place. 40 years later, Caleb sits down with the pastor, Joshua, and he has a conversation with his close friend, comrades. Caleb has been loyal, faithful. He has been a dog, a faithful, loyal servant to Joshua. You never find one time that there was an argument, a dispute. You never find one time that Caleb was trying to assert his authority over the pastor, over the man of God. And he sat down with his closest friend and he said in Joshua 14:7, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. I want you to picture this. As they sit by the fireside, as the fire embers are glowing, as they're sitting around, Caleb begins a conversation. And he says, 40 years ago, Joshua, do you remember when Moses spoke to me? Do you remember the promise that Moses made to me about land that I was going to inherit, not only for myself, but for my posterity? Here is a tender moment of relationship between two brothers, approximately at this moment the same age, 85 years old, sitting maybe by a campfire, communing and fellowshipping and talking about the past, and talking about how Caleb stood up before the people in Revelation and said to the people, Moses swore to me concerning this promise. But when the spies came in, they made the people's heart to melt. What was Caleb saying? He said, you know what happened all those years ago? The people's hearts melted. They were consumed by unbelief. Their hearts and their dreams and their hopes for this land were dissolved. It was like liquefied. They were consumed and vanished because they were intimidated by 10 men who changed the course of history for Israel by their negative words and by their negative attitude and by their unbelief that became a spiritual cancer in the camp of the Israelites. But look what Caleb says. But I, wholly, wholly, followed the Lord. This is the profile of a last day Christian. Lord, don't let me cause my brothers and sisters' hearts to melt and dissolve. Don't let me speak words that would take their dreams and consume their dreams and their hope for the future.
Come on now.
Lord, don't let me become a vehicle in the hand of the enemy to cause people to lose hope and become helpless in their pursuit of God and the land that God wants to give them. But God, let me be like Caleb. Let my testimony be that I wholly followed the Lord. And that word wholly, wholly, means consecrated. It means overflowing and with satisfaction. It means to accomplish. It means to be fully like a woman with child about to give birth. No room left not to be dedicated. No distractions. I wholly follow God. Hallelujah. I'm pregnant with God. I'm filled up with God. And I'm ready to give birth to the dream. I'm ready to give birth to my future. I'm ready to give birth, oh God, through your power and through your spirit. I want to possess the land and I want an inheritance, not only for me, but for my posterity. Much is riding upon my shoulders. Amen. And much is riding on your shoulders.
Come on.
This is not a game. This is not a joke. I've been in the spirit world. And I know the fight. I've seen the demons at the foot of my bed lined up. In their darkness, in their black cloaks surrounding me. I've had one choke me in the middle of the night years ago as I was praying and fasting. Choking me. Woke me up in the middle of the night choking the breath out of my chest, out of my neck. I've been in that world. And I know that when we engage in unbelief and words and we engage in unforgiveness and we engage in our dumb little games, it not only affects the land that God wants to give us, but look what it says. In verse 9, and Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance. And listen to this, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord God. We are fighting for our children's inheritance.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
So when you want to run your mouth, realize something. Don't let the judgment come upon your kids.
Come on.
Keep it. Bring it to God. Bring it to the cross. Bring it to the altar. For fear of consequence. You see what's happened in the churches? There's no fear of God anymore.
Come on, preach it.
No fear of God. Ananias had to be taken out by God. Sapphira had to be taken out by God. And the Bible says that great fear came upon the church. Because God will keep the church clean. God will keep the church pure. Even if it's only a handful of people. God will not allow division to destroy the unity of the house of God. He will come against it. He will come against it. Because this is his house. The church is what he died for.
Yes.
He died for the church. And he died for the fivefold ministry. 85 years old. Look what Joshua says in Joshua 14 and 10. And now, here's that, the campfire talk. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. And he's, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake the word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day. This was his birthday. I am this day, 85 years. Today's my birthday. I'm 85 years old, and guess what? I want a birthday present.
That's right. Yeah.
He wasn't asking for a cake and a bunch of 85 candles.
Give me encouragement.
Because Caleb was going to live another 30 years beyond this.
Come on.
He wasn't looking for no birthday cake.
No.
He says,
come on.
I'm not looking for no cake. I'm looking to square things with a couple of giants.
Come on. That's right.
I'm looking to square things with a couple of guys that scared the hell out of the Israelites.
That's right.
I'm 85 years old. Ugh, don't let my age fool you.
Time to fight. That's right.
Hear me. Don't let my age fool you, Caleb was saying. Because look what he says. He says in verse 11 of Joshua 14, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Come on, devil. You want to fight? Come on. Let's go. Get with it.
That's right.
Yes, put up or shut up. It's on.
I like those little campfire chats with your best friend.
He says, Joshua, I'm ready. He says in verse 12, conversation's over. I like the fellowship. We broke bread. We reminisced. I haven't lost my memory, Caleb was saying. I don't have Alzheimer's. I remember God's promise. I remember God's word upon me many, many years ago in prophecy. I remember what God said through a blind lady sitting at a piano in a campsite many years ago upon my life. Stir up the gift of God. The word of prophecy that's gone upon you, it'll come to pass. Listen, I haven't forgotten those words of prophetic utterance that was placed upon me. And the Bible says, he said, now therefore, give me this mountain. What mountain? You know what this mountain represented? This represented the toughest assignment that could be given to a soldier, because this was a mountain of hills. This was fortified cities where giants were living. He said, give me this mountain, Joshua. Whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and then their cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. This mountain was a range of hills. It was the toughest assignment that could be given to a soldier. It was fortified cities. It was the giants were there. Caleb had resolve. Caleb had vision. Caleb had patience. Caleb had faith. Caleb was a dog. He was a tack dog. He was forceful. He was loyal. He said to Joshua, I'm going in. And he prefaced it with, if so be the Lord be with me. In other words, he was saying, like the three children in the fiery furnace, if the Lord wants me to die in the furnace, we'll die. If the Lord wants to show up, he'll show up. But know this one thing, King. We're not bound to your image. Come hell or high water, we're going in the furnace. And Caleb was saying the same thing. He's saying to Joshua, no matter what, whether I come out, whether I go in, you'll remember me as a warrior. You'll remember me as a courageous servant of God. You'll remember me as an 85-year-old man that went out fighting. I'm going in to take that mountain. And Joshua blessed him. It's nice to get the blessing of the man of God.
Yes, sir.
That's right. It's nice when the man of God lays his hand upon you. I remember my mother, who was born Jewish. I don't know much about my grandparents, never remember ever meeting any of my grandparents. My mother used to say, Freddie, on Friday night, when the Jews and the sun went down and the Sabbath was coming upon them, she said my father would say a prayer. He would put his hand on me and bless me. Oh, when someone puts their hand on you and blesses you.
Yeah, come on.
When brothers and sisters embrace each other and put their hands upon each other and bless one another. When the unity of the Spirit and the oil that comes down from heaven on the top of our head down to the soles of our feet and the blessing of God is there, something magical happens. Something mystical happens. Something supernatural happens. When the man of God extended his hands to Caleb and said, be blessed, man of God. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because he that wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Caleb had vision. Caleb had patience. Caleb had faith. And Caleb, listen to this, had remembrance concerning the promises of God. Don't allow your confidence to be lost concerning the promises of God. Let us keep our confidence. Let us keep our faith. Let us keep our profession. Let us keep our confession that God said it. God said it. I believe it. I receive it. It don't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what backslidden preachers say. It don't matter what backslidden Christians say. Joshua 15 and 13 and 14. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which is set in Hebron. And Caleb, listen to this, and Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshiah, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. You know what that was? Caleb said, guess what? I got to square something with you guys. And some people say, were these the original giants or were these the sons of giants? It doesn't matter if they were the original three or the sons of the three that were named after their fathers. But Caleb went in and said, guess what? You're the guys that scared the hell out of the Israelites. You're the guys that caused millions to die. You're the guys that are going down. And I come in the name of the Lord. And I come in the power of the Holy Ghost. And I say, be gone. Be gone and be gone. You are defeated in the name of God and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Amen.
This is war.
Amen.
All hands on deck.
Right.
Troops need to be mobilized.
Come on.
Because you're fighting for your family and your posterity. Don't come to the house of God and say, my God, Pastor, my kids in trouble. And you haven't been present. And you haven't dedicated. And you haven't consecrated. Because we're seeking the things of the world more than we're seeking the things of God.
Come on.
Right. You don't want a preacher that doesn't tell you the truth.
Come on.
You want a preacher that tells you the truth.
Right.
Some man that has courage and boldness to sit behind a sacred desk and say, guess what? Wake up, Zion. Wake up, children of Israel. Don't be at ease in Zion, because the enemy's going to come in like a flood and he's going to take you out. I see it. It scares me. When I look at people, when God gives me discernment as a pastor, when I see bitterness, and I see the stuff in the spirit, and I say, Lord, is it going to be true that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree? And instead of the next generation that's getting the land, they're going to get a consequence? Listen, I got to remain true to God for my wife, for my family, for my church. This is not a joke. It's a struggle. This is a war. This is a tiring war. This is a tiring war. How can we let some soldiers fight? Or we take our ease.
Come on, please.
Zion. Listen. Forty years before, Joshua went to battle in this particular area. And the Bible says in Joshua chapter 10, verse 37, they took it and smote it with the edge of the sword. And the king thereof and all the cities thereof and all the souls that were therein, he left none remaining according to all that had been done in Eglon, but destroyed it utterly and all the souls that were therein. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, to Debir, and fought against it. And he took it, and the king thereof, and the cities thereof, and they smote them with the edge of the sword, and utterly destroyed all the souls that were therein. He left nothing remaining, as he had done to Hebron, so he did to Debir, and to the king thereof, as he had done also to Libnah, and to her king. You know why I'm reading that? This was 40 years before Caleb went in. You see, when you let the enemy get that hot, when you let that junk well up in your heart again, when you let that stuff appear again, when you reenact stuff that's already been done and taken care of, you allow the enemy to rebuild the city in your heart.
Come on, preach it.
You allow the enemy to build the castle and the thoughts and the imaginations in your mind. And he makes you believe that you're so right. And that city gets built again.
Come on.
That city that was once defeated, that city that was once put under the blood of Jesus.
Give them the way back in.
We open the gate.
Come on.
And legally the enemy has a right to come in. When we open the gate and there's a gap. Listen. 40 years after, in the book of Judges, chapter 1, verse 10, that's why this sermon was so difficult to put together, because of the chronology. And Judah went up against the Canaanites that dwelt in Hebron. They were already defeated 40 years before. And they slew Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the three giants, with Caleb. What happened? It's what happens to us as Christians. We go sailing along for a while, and the blessings of God come. And then we're throwing a curveball. And the curveball comes and waylays us. And we start to contemplate. It's not working. It's not like it used to be. I used to pray and get blessings just like that. God worked just like that. I saw miracles just like that. We start to doubt. We start to get in controversy. We start to think about this stuff. And before you know it, the unbelief, the city of unbelief, the city of doubt, begins to grow.
Come on.
Where it was once obliterated through salvation. You see, what Caleb did was took care of unfinished business. Unfinished business. Let me close. You remember Goliath. And you remember that God gave David 5 smooth stones in his pouch. Many people were buffaloed by the 5 smooth stones. And people who don't know the word of God were accusing God. Wasn't God sure that David would kill him with 1 stone, that he had to give him 5? Oh no, God knows what he's doing. You listen to me.
That's right, come on. Get some stones.
You listen to me.
He wrote the story, he knows the end.
That's right.
David used 1 smooth stone.
And
he killed Goliath with the stone. But if you read in the book of Samuel, 4 more giants were born to the giant at Gath, that was Goliath. Unfinished business, listen to me, can destroy you. Because the enemy will come back and revisit you with more demons. David got himself messed up with Bathsheba, caused the man's murder. David got all messed up. And you know when he got messed up? His family got messed up. You listen to me. Consequences.
Yep.
His son tried to overthrow him. The other son raped his stepdaughter. Mm-hmm. The other son killed the other son. Mm-hmm. Bathsheba, the first baby, died. And from that moment on, that David looked over to that rooftop, his life became hell for his family. Some things that David did not defeat as a young man crept on up on him in old age. And David knew that he had unfinished business to tend to, that he did not tend to years ago. I'll preach the sermon again one day. Those 4 giants had 4 specific names and 4 specific attributes that David did not conquer as a young man. When David got old, like Caleb, who went in and cleaned it up for the children of Israel one more time and put the enemy down, David said, I'm an old man. I don't have the strength that I used to. I can't defeat the Goliath that I did years ago when I was 17 years old. But he took his army. Listen to me. You talk about humility. This is why God loved David. And he said, boys, we have an assignment. And in all humility, I need your help to defeat the 4 giants that were born to the giant at Gath. David and his men, when David was old, he couldn't do it by himself, killed those 4 giants and cleaned up unfinished business. He sealed the deal. You listen to me. If you think you can allow things to fester in your heart,
come on, preach it.
If you think you can allow a little blade of bitterness or garbage or hatred,
amen, come on.
If you think you can allow a little blade to grow, and you dismiss it without humility, that blade will grow into a big tree.
Mm-hmm.
And that blade will give so much fruit, it will choke out you, your family, and your posterity.
Mom,
listen, when I read this, when I looked at this, and I saw the consequences on those 10 spies of plague, when I saw the consequences on all those people, I said, God, that should put the fear of God in me.
That's right.
100-fold.
Amen.
That should put the fear of God in me not to want to disappoint you.
Come on.
And to be careful about the words that come out of my mouth. And to be careful about my attitude and my spirit. You see, you can lie to yourself. And we have that great word called denial. I get sick of that word. It's a lie. Denial's lying to yourself. Lying to yourself. And when you lie to yourself, you've already been deceived by a demonic spirit that is growing that fortress and castle in your heart again. Listen, I'm not just fighting for me and for my future. I'm fighting for the future of my family as the paternal figure. And as the pastor of the church, I'm fighting for the future of this church. I need you to fight with me. I need you to show up. You know, you can make all the money in the world, but you know what God's been reminding me of? There's a step between me and death.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. There's a step between me and death. And when God takes my breath, it's over.
Right.
It doesn't matter what money I have.
Right.
It doesn't matter what kind of car I drive.
Right.
It doesn't matter how hard I worked. How will I be remembered? Will I be remembered as a man of God that showed up? Will I be remembered as a woman of God that showed up, put on the uniform, and said, God, I am a soldier in the army of the Lord? What else is going to matter? Have you ever thought what your eulogy will be? He was a great worker. That's it. Big deal. But are you a ruler? Are you a ruler like Caleb and Joshua? Are you a man of God that will lead the charge and lead your family and say, we're going to the house of God? That's why Joshua got up and said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Will you serve God or will you serve mammon? And he said, if you serve mammon, guess what? Go on the other side of the river and go to work and stay there the rest of your life. Because guess what? You're going to bring down the house of God. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will choose to serve God. Would you stand with me?
Praise my King. Hallelujah.